Amen. So thankful for that. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. So thankful for what the Lord has done, and I'm so thankful to be able to see everybody here that didn't get trampled on Black Friday shopping. And I read one statement one time that said, Black Friday shopping is just a time that we just gave the Lord thanks for everything that we do have and go out and buy a bunch of things we don't need. And so I'm not going to ask how many that went. I had to reintroduce myself to my wife after a couple days after she finally showed back up from Thanksgiving night and all day Friday. I think we reconnected yesterday morning. But then I walked over to the calendar, and I'm not sure what this meant, but on the calendar, and Peter even asked me if I went and got my hunting license this year, because on the calendar for Thursday, it said hunting season. And I knew I didn't write it there, and so I knew that was for the deals that she was going out and hunting for. And so, but I'm glad to see everybody made it to church safely. I read another statement that said, you can't get up for Sunday school to be able to be here, but you can buy a crock pot at 4 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday. I said, there's some truth to all of that, but that's not the message today. Partly it is. Philippians chapter number 4, if you found it, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 10. We're just going to read 4 verses, 10 through 13. The Bible says, Philippians 4, 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to come back and look at verse number 11, where he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know the Lord putting it on my heart in between Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas season on learning to be content. And you say, Pastor, why didn't you preach this message last Sunday before going into it? But I believe the Lord has something for us. We'll get into the scriptures. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you today. Lord, I thank you again for this season of Thanksgiving. Lord, I'm so thankful, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that he died and was buried and rose again the third day. Lord, to be able to finish the work of salvation for me. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for our church. And Lord, I pray as we look into the scriptures, here we have the Apostle Paul saying he learned to be content. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Learn to be content. How many have ever had one of your parents, probably when you were growing up and you didn't like something that was put on the table in front of you, and you didn't want to eat that, but they would look at you and say, there's starving kids in Africa that would be thankful for that meal. My wife, being the smart Alex she was, she looked at him and said, well, pack it up and send it to him. More than happy to share it with them. Several times while growing up, and I know it's a lesson that all parents try to instill and try to teach to their children and the next generation on this subject matter of being content, being satisfied. As we look into the scriptures, I was reminded this week because it's something I believe, even in the society that we live in, that being satisfied and content with that which we have is a very rare attitude and disposition to be able to have. We look at it, I'll look at it from a man's perspective. If we have a good hunting rifle, guess what? We always want another one. And all God's men said, amen. We're just content with more. Brother, we went down to Bass Pro Shop on Friday morning. And I was looking through there, and I have certain things that are tools that are in my house that I'm thinking these are of necessity, okay? I got cordless drills. I got a skill saw. I got extension cords. And then I got some other smaller tools that can be carried around with me. But there's always that need for more. If you have a truck, you most of the time want a bigger one. Ladies, if you have a certain dress, you see someone else with something else, you're like, hey, that would look good on me also. We live in a very uncontented society today. And we would think as we go through life, especially we as believers, we as Christians, those that claim the name of Christ, we would think we ought to be the most content people on the face of the earth. But then I look at the Apostle Paul, and when I read down through this passage again, and Paul said this, he said, I have learned to be content. In other words, it's not something that was just naturally inside of him. And I would dare to say this, and I know that you'll call yourself the exception, and I'd call myself the exception at times, but I will say, well, I'm the exception. I'm a very content person. And I don't ever need anything else. I'm just very content. You never give a Christmas list. But there's always something we want. And even the Apostle Paul, I believe, one of the greatest Christians to ever walk the face of the earth, even Paul said, I've learned to be content. But then in the next verse, he said this in verse number 12. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. Look at this. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And it is in this matter of abounding, of being abased, of being instructed to be full and to be hungry, of learning to be content, that he said in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so as I looked at the scriptures and I thought, you know, even the Apostle Paul had to be instructed. Even the Apostle Paul had to learn to be content. And if the Apostle Paul, who the Lord used in a tremendous way to be able to see souls saved, to be able to preach the gospel, to be able to see churches started, if he had to learn to be content, then I believe it's something we need to be taught. Because we don't come by it naturally. So then I started looking back over the Apostle Paul's life and started looking at certain times in his life. And I said, I wonder when God instructed him or taught him these lessons on being content. There's several things he went through in life. And I'm thinking, you know, after looking at the Apostle Paul's life, I'm thinking, God, if I'll go ahead and just learn this now and maybe not have to go through some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through, if we could just learn to be content. I don't know if you've ever looked at someone and said, why don't you just be satisfied with what you have? There's been some times, and we've had some people over to the house, not here at the church, I'll say not here at the church, had some people over to the house, and it just seemed like, and you've probably run into these, no matter what you put out there for them to eat, they always want something else. You can put every condiment out there that you have, and they're going to ask for the one thing that you don't have out there on the table. And no matter what you're thinking, can't you just be satisfied with what you have? Satisfied with what's provided. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord looks down at us and says, you know, I just need to teach you to be content. And I want to share a few things as I went through the Apostle Paul's life on maybe how he learned to be content, maybe these times in his life when he learned contentment, and just some characteristics of contentment as we come through here that maybe God would help us as we just come through Thanksgiving. We are going into the Christmas season, which no matter what this world says or what this world does, I will make it all about Jesus, because that's who this season is all about. I'm not concerned about whether Jesus was born on December the 25th, okay? I'm just thankful that there's some time set aside that we're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior, and I'm thankful for it. Let me show you a few things as I went back in the Scriptures. First of all, he may have learned to be content, number one, because of the leadership that was present in his life. Look back with me to Acts chapter number 11. You remember when the Apostle Paul, he trusted Christ in Acts chapter number 9 and had that, we call it a miraculous conversion. But may I say, when anybody trusts Christ as their Savior, it is a miraculous conversion. For the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to reach down and to be able to save a soul, I'm so thankful for that. The Apostle Paul then, he's called Saul at the time, after he trusts Christ as his Savior, he begins and wants to do something for the Lord. And we come throughout the next couple chapters, and may I remind us, at first, they didn't appreciate and accept the Apostle Paul for who he was. In fact, he came back to Jerusalem to be able to join himself there with the apostles. And they said, no, this is the man that persecuted the church of God. Well, he had some leadership in his life. And I'm thankful for some encouragers and some leaders that would take the Apostle Paul under his wing and be able to instruct him, be able to encourage him, and also be able to vouch for him. Aren't you thankful for God putting people in your life that are willing to put their name on the line and be able to stick their neck out on our behalf? Because that's what Barnabas did for the Apostle Paul when he came back to Jerusalem, and he said, listen, that's the one that persecuted. And Barnabas stepped up and said, listen, I know him. I know how the Lord's used him. God's changed his life. He's not the same man that he used to be. And they accepted him there into the fellowship. But I want you to see the leadership that he had in his life here in Acts chapter number 11 and learning to be content and following the leadership, starting in verse number 22. The Bible says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. We're talking about things over in Antioch, okay? And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now look at verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. That's the Saul that was saved in Acts chapter number 9, who in chapter number 13, his name was changed to Paul. For to seek Saul, and look at this, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Can I say I believe that the Apostle Paul, Saul at this time, learned to be content with the leadership, the spiritual leadership that God had placed in their lives. Spiritual leadership, the leadership that was present there, all he had, listen, this was the man that had vouched for him. This was the man that said, listen, God has changed his life. And when there was a revival and souls being stirred and cleaving unto the Lord and souls being saved, Barnabas said, I need to go find Saul. Because he needs to be part of this. He goes to Tarshish. He finds Saul. Now listen, I don't see the argument. I don't see the Saul as far as contradicting what Barnabas was saying. Barnabas went, found Saul, said, Saul, you got to come with me. Uprooted and moved to follow the leadership that God had placed in his life, because the leadership said, hey, Paul, I think God wants you over here. And uproots everything. You never see Paul later on going back to Tarsus to live. That was his hometown. And following the leadership that was bringing, he was content with the spiritual leadership that was in his life. Now, let me say this. I'm not talking about blind faith. I'm not saying that you just fall in line because you have a spiritual leader in your life that says this is what you need to do, and you don't even pray about it, it's the will of God, and you just blindly follow. But I will say this, we need some young people who will be content with the spiritual leaders that God's put in their life. Do you know one thing I never had a choice in while I was growing up? This is just one of the things that I never had a choice in. And guess what? There's not one young person or child here today that has a choice in it whatsoever, and that's who your parents are. And some kids are saying, yeah, don't remind me. How many here ever had parents that embarrassed them? Don't put your hand up. They're watching. Peter's hand just went up as soon as I said don't. We don't have a choice on who our parents are. But can I say this? I had parents that raised me in church. Did I even agree with everything on my parent? No. But he didn't say obey if you agree with everything. And it's pretty bad when it gets too late in life. Then you start realizing and appreciating how wonderful it was to be able to have parents that took you to church every week. When it starts to get to be too late, and now we've developed things of our own, and we're saying, man, I wish I would have appreciated my parents. And you say, well, I didn't have a choice. And I know there's young people that say, listen, I wish you weren't my dad. I wish you weren't my mom. What are you going to do about it? I mean, you can even go and get that, do they call it an annulment or something today? You can even be annulled from your parents if you want to today. That's crazy. Divorce yourself from your parents. But you know something? No matter what my kids will go do, guess what? I'm still their parents. I'm still their dad. Crystal's still their mom. They can't change that. And young people, listen, I'm not just talking to teenagers. I know a lot of our younger kids are down in junior church this morning, but some of our young adults, we need to be thankful for parents that God has put in our lives, the leadership that God's put there. You say, I don't agree with them. God put them in your life. We ought to be thankful for them. You say, I don't agree with everything on my parents. God put them there. You know something? Saved or unsaved, we're still supposed to honor them. Saved or unsaved. Now, I'm not saying we obey if they're telling us to go against biblical principles. I'm saying we stay true to the Word of God. But I believe it's about time we raise a generation that's appreciative for their parents and the leadership that is present in their life. And I thought, you know, just in a spiritual leadership, and Barnabas was not even the pastor of Saul at that time. They were in two different cities, but he was a spiritual leader that was in his life and said, listen, there's something going on in Antioch, and you need to come with me, and we're going to go over there. And boy, God used him to be able to get to his life. I believe every one of us would be in a better spiritual condition if we'd follow spiritual leadership that God has placed in our lives. But I believe we're in a society today, not just with young people, but let's bring it over to the spiritual side of things, that we say, I don't need any spiritual leaders in my life. Even I have counselors. Even I have people that I go to. Listen, when I was down in Tennessee, and I'm not going to give you all my spiritual leaders because some of you probably track their numbers down, try to call them and say, listen, if he calls you next time, here's some things I need you to tell him. One time I sat down, I was down in Tennessee, and Pastor Mike Norris down there at the Franklin Road Baptist Church, I said, listen, when I'm down there, I said, listen, busy man. He was preaching for us this past April. He was up here. I said, can you block out about 2 hours? I said, I just need to sit down and talk to you about a few things. just to be able to glean, to be able to get some wisdom, not to correct problems, but to be able to say, I need some wisdom on this, and to be able to follow some spiritual leadership that's in our life. And the Apostle Paul, listen, he was the leader. Do you understand who he was? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was about as high up as he could possibly go. And then he gets saved, and all of a sudden, he's not the leader. Now he's a baby Christian. Now he's not the one that everybody's bowing down to and saying, this is what we need to do. He's saying, what do I need to do? And now he's following leadership instead of him being the leader. And I thought God put spiritual leadership in his life. I wrote a couple things down. I'll just give it to you. First of all, this was a guiding leadership. That when Saul needed to be a certain place in his life, guess what? God used Barnabas to be able to help guide him. But I'm thankful not just for guiding leadership, but it was godly leadership also. And those that God's put in your life, make sure. You say being content with the leadership. Yeah, don't always fight against that which God's put in your life. But then I thought about what the Apostle Paul went through in his life. And I believe that he learned contentment by finding out that life, number two, life is precious. You say, how did he learn to be content with just his life? I won't take the time to be able to look over at it, but in Acts chapter number 14 is when the Apostle Paul is preaching in Lystra. And they don't like the gospel that he's preaching. And so they arrest the Apostle Paul. They take him outside the city and they stone him and leave him there, supposing that he's dead. Now, can I say this? When you wake up dead, you start to realize how precious life is. When the Apostle Paul woke up, now I'll say this, according to other scriptures in the Bible, I believe he died and God raised him from the dead. And what he did, now listen, when you wake up and you're dead and God gives you another chance, and listen, there's times in lives that people have said, I should have died at that moment. I read a statement here just a couple weeks ago. They said, it is amazing how that one phone call in life can completely change all priorities and what's important to you. When this man ends up in the hospital and he's going through three or four bypasses to be able to fix his heart and he's just about at the point of death, listen, it's amazing he's not thinking about going out and getting anything else and getting a bigger house and be able to add into his wealth. All of a sudden, he finds out how precious life is. And now all of a sudden, those few moments of his wife being able to come in to be able to spend some visitation time with him. Or now, as they were talking about their daughter and grandson being able to come in town to be able to visit with them. Life takes on a whole new meaning when you learn to be content because your life is almost gone. Acts chapter 14, he was stoned outside of Lystra. But may I say this, in Acts chapter 27, remember this, he was on that ship. And he was being taken as a prisoner of Rome. And a storm came. He said, you should have hearkened unto me. And can I be honest with you? There are times that the preacher wants to get up and look at everybody and say, I told you so. There are times. Now, it may not be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It was for Paul to be able to step up and say, hey, you should have hearkened unto me. And most of the time, that's what we don't want to start counseling sessions out with, okay? When they come and sit down at the office and they lay out all the problems that they're in, it's not the best way to start the conversation when the pastor says, told you so. The ship ends up running aground. They thrust it aground. They cast everything over that they can. The ship starts getting torn apart. They commit themselves to the sea to be able to swim ashore. And the Bible says the rest of them made it by just clinging to pieces of the boards to be able to make it ashore. And I thought, what a lesson. Do you realize there's a few times in the Apostle Paul's life that absolutely everything that he owned was completely gone? everything. When he committed himself to the sea that night, when the ship was wrecked, and he's just trying to make it ashore, he makes it ashore with the clothes that are on his back, gets up, warms himself by the fire. That's when he's bit by the viper, shakes it off, goes and does what God wants him to do, ends up getting martyred for the cause of Christ. Everything was gone, but he gets back up and goes and serves the Lord. Lost everything. There were times he had to flee a city, being let down out the window in a basket because they were coming at the other door to be able to arrest him, and they had to get him out of town real quick. Listen, there's not many things you can put in a basket with you to be able to get out. There's no wonder that when he would write back, he would say, "Bring me the scrolls, bring me the books." Didn't have time to be able to get them while I was running out of town. Bring me the cloak. Hey, I left a jacket back there while I was trying to get out of town. Things that he left and lost. But he said, "I've learned to be content." And I thought, we go through times like that in life. Guess what? God may teach us to be content too. And we start learning that life is precious. When maybe all we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe all that we have is some family that's around us. You don't see that with the Apostle Paul. You see him by himself sometimes. Thankfully, he had a cellmate in Silas in Acts chapter 16. He had someone else to be able to sing with him. He didn't always have that. But he said, "I will tell you this, I've learned to be content." Learned to be content. Life is precious. But then back in Philippians chapter number 4, where we were, can I say this? He learned to be content with limited possessions. He's sitting in prison in Philippians chapter number 4, and look what he says. He says that he's received, look at verse number 17. He says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." He says, "But I have all." Now he's sitting in prison. He says, "I have all and abound. I am full." I've never met one person sitting in prison after a meal that said they were full. Never a one. But he said, "I have all. I abound. I'm full." You know why? He said, "Having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord." He had just told us back in verses 10 and 11 and 12, he said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound." He's sitting in prison with absolutely nothing. And Epaphroditus shows up for a visit one day, and the church at Philippi there had sent an offering. And he said, "Listen, I have everything that I need because I've received this offering that you've sent to me." He said, "I've got everything. I'm full." And I thought, there's a man that no matter what he has, he's content. I thought, Lord, if you'd instruct us that same way, if you'd allow us to be able to learn. But listen, you ever heard the statement, and I know it doesn't take place here, but we use that statement, keeping up with the Joneses. I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses back here. Keeping up with the Joneses. That means that, listen, you see your neighbor get something and then you're saying, "Hey, I need that." You see a friend get something and you're saying, "Hey, I need that." No, we don't. We're just trying to raise our position in society. We don't need to keep up with anything. Why don't we be content? Limited resources, he said, "I've received." Now, listen, can I tell you this? It wasn't some $5,000 love offering that they sent by the hand of Epaphroditus. He wouldn't have been able to spend it in prison anyway. I wonder if they sent him a jacket. I wonder if they sent him a blanket, maybe a few snacks. I don't know what they sent him. But whatever it was, he said, "I've received it and I'm full. I have need of nothing." Nothing. But then I was reminded, turn over with me, this is what he's saying to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. As he's preparing to pass away here a few weeks later, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, He says in verse number 6, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." You say, "But Pastor, I need this and I need that." Do we really? Or maybe God could teach us to be content. Now, I'm so thankful, and listen, I don't believe there's one person here that probably missed a meal on Thanksgiving. If you missed a meal and you didn't have anything, it's probably your own fault. Because we had a meal here and said, if you don't have a place, you can come eat Thanksgiving with our family. We don't miss meals like that. We have food. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. The Apostle Paul was telling this young preacher, he said, if you've got food and you've got raiment. Now guess what? Nobody had to walk to church today. We ought to be thankful, shouldn't we? And I sure hope that the heat worked in everybody's car on the way here today. Isn't that a blessing? We didn't get 2 miles down the road. I rode in with Peter today. As soon as I felt that little bit of heat coming out, I turned over there and turned that thing all the way up. I said, I'm going to make sure we're warm. I'm saying, Lord, if we can be content, if you could teach us. Now, let me close with this statement. Contentment will only come with putting Christ first in our lives. Contentment only comes by putting Christ first in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, and you know these verses as Jesus was teaching up on the mountain. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse number 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I wonder, between you and the Lord today, if you were to ask yourself the question and then answer it, and don't raise your hand, this is between you and God, would you say, according to biblical principles, that you're a content person? Paul was able to say, while sitting in prison, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Are you content with the spiritual leadership? You say, "No, not really. I don't want you to be my pastor." Well, guess who's the pastor at Granite State Baptist Church? It's another church down the road if you want a different pastor. I look at spiritual leadership in my life and I say, "Lord, I'm content with who you've given to me to be able to follow. Not blindly, not just if they say go jump off a cliff, I'm going to jump off the cliff, but following spiritual leadership. Realizing that even your life is precious and the things that, and the people that God's put in your life, content with. And then realizing you may not have as much as somebody else has. But are you content with that? With such that God has given to you. Now, if we look at everything through the eyes of Christ, and we seek Him first, guess what? We'll have contentment. Someone once said, if you have everything but Christ, you have nothing. But if you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. Because you know something, it's certain, we're not going to take anything with us. I've heard preachers say it for years. You don't see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And then, of course, I saw a picture. Someone brought it in. And it had a U-Haul behind a hearse. But you know something? We're not taking any of it with us. But you know what's most precious to me? And I'm not getting old. But I've had aged people tell me this. That when you start getting to a certain point, you just start getting thankful with the family being around. You know what the one thing was, and he's not aged, but Brother Shepherd said to me last week, I think he said, was it 19 or something you were going to have around the table? He didn't talk about the whole feast. He said, we're going to have 19 members of the family around the table for Thanksgiving. Contentment. You know something? If you're lost without Christ, you'll never be content with anything till you find Jesus. That's where contentment's found. I'm satisfied with Jesus today. I'm so thankful for who He is. I'm so thankful for what He's done in my life. I'm so thankful. I wonder if we're a content people or if we're just going to spend the next 24 days showing how uncontent we are. Or if we just go before the Lord and just say, Lord, thank you. Help me to be content with such things as I have. Listen, if you have a meal today, praise the Lord. If you have shelter, when that snow starts coming later this evening, thank the Lord for it. Because there's some we deal with on a regular basis, and they're just trying to find the best shelter they can. I wonder if God would teach us to be content. If Paul had to learn a few things, I think we have to learn a few things. If you don't have Christ, it starts with Him. If you do have Christ, let's seek Him first, and everything else will fall in place. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Learning to be content, the things that the Apostle Paul went through, content with the leadership that was in his life, content when he realized how precious life is. They stoned him outside the city. He gets back up and goes back in and preaching. When he's stranded at sea a night and a day, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians, then he could say, I've learned to be content. I've lost everything, but I can be content. Realizing with just a small offering that was sent to him, a love package from a church, he said, I have everything I need. I'm content. And I wonder today if the Lord would speak to our hearts, and maybe it would be that God would speak to your heart and say, you know something, you're not as content and thankful and satisfied with the blessings that God has bestowed to you. And maybe we need to have a correction in our heart attitude. Or maybe we need to gather at the altar and spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, I do want to thank you for everything that you've given to me. And Lord, I want to be content and be thankful. Whatever the Lord's spoken to your heart about as she plays, if God's spoken to your heart, come find your place here at the altar, either to thank Him or maybe to correct some things. Say, Lord, help me to be content. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven for all of eternity to be with Jesus. But I'm concerned about it enough to let you pray for me. True contentment starts with Christ. And maybe you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and slip it down so that I can pray for you? Pastor, pray for me. Not sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I've tried everything. No contentment in that, no satisfaction in that. Well, I'm so thankful for Jesus. So thankful. He said, be content with such things. You say, well, I want something different with my life. I wonder if we could have some joy if we were content where God has us right now, what God has us doing. I always want to strive forward for Christ. I always want to do more for the cause of Christ. I want to do it where He has me. And this is where He has me. And I'm going to do all I can for Him. I'm going to be content with that. She's going to finish out this verse. If God's spoken to your heart, spend some time with Him. So thankful for who Jesus is. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, every one of us have more today than what we deserve. And Lord, I pray, Lord, not just in our church, but Lord, just in our lives, that Lord would have that spirit of contentment. And we're just thankful for what you've done for us, for what you've given to us. Lord, I'm thankful for the leaders that you've put in my life. And Lord, I'm content with them. I'm satisfied. Lord, our life is precious. Some may say, I've just got limited. Lord, I just have a little bit. But that's all Paul had. And he said, I'm full. I've got everything I need. Help us to learn contentment. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.